Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show. The Mark Hoke Show. Going bell to bell with the best in professional wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's get to all the exciting pro wrestling action and bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
Oh, it's a show so nice we're doing another hour twice or something like that. Just for fun. Well, just because I said so. That's what we do. That's the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment here on KDON 101.5 FM. The talk of Las Vegas. How's everybody holding up for your daylight savings time? You got your coffee? You feeling good? Done whining about losing an hour of sleep? I sure hope so, because we're trying to have some fun here on the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment. We can't have fun if you're all cranky and upset. So let's talk a little pro wrestling, shall we? Let's have a great time. Come on, Vegas. Let's get it rolling. We're the city that never sleeps, man. We got pay-per-views coming here. We got all sorts of great wrestling action. Got to enjoy it. That's what I'm here for, your humble, lovable little host. Marco, thanks for joining me. I do appreciate it as we get ready for just so much going on the road to WrestleMania. Man, Impact is coming, or TNA is coming here soon, and I guess we can soon say that AEW is going to be joining the fray. I would imagine Double or Nothing, that announcement will be soon. So brace yourselves for Memorial Day weekend, as that craziness will be hitting Las Vegas, I would imagine. And, you know, we'll be seeing a lot of our great friends in the wrestling media invading this fantastic city. And one of those people who I'm sure will be invading, we got to get him out here. We have to. I want to sit there and just, like, look over his shoulder as he's writing his review for AEW Double or Nothing. He's laughing already. I love it. From Bleacher Report, Doc Chris Mueller. Doc, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, man. I'm so happy you're here with no technical difficulties. Thank you for joining me, buddy.
Yeah, we're using StreamYard like a real professional.
Yeah, because we had it. You know, it was funny because the last time he was on, there was some sort of crazy computer glitch, and it turned out we just had to reset the computer. Which was just stupid.
I mean, unplugging it and plugging it back in is usually what what fixes a technical glitch, right?
Unbelievable. But yeah, so I'm glad you're here, and thank you for joining me. I do appreciate it. And of course, does unbelievable work on Bleacher Report.
Oversell it.
No, I'm not overselling it. I'm not. Dude, I am dead serious about this, folks. When I get up to do this show and I am pulling information, one of the places that I go to get summaries for stuff that happened during the week, if I didn't happen to get to see it, or even when I did and I need to have stuff in front of me, I go to this man's work. I kid you not. Great opinions. Don't always agree, but most of the time we're pretty simpatico. So I always recommend checking out Bleacher Report and Doc's work. It's amazing. So
I appreciate that, but I definitely don't review every show. We have a really great team. It's me, Eric Beeston, Kevin Burge, Chris Rowling. I'm trying to remember if anybody else contributes regularly beyond that, but I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out and I'm gonna feel like an idiot in a minute. But yeah, like, we have a team of guys who have all been there for years consistently. Like, a lot of websites you'll go to, you'll see the names on the bylines changing every once in a while and people cycle in and out. You've been able to see me, Kevin, Eric, and Graham all on Bleacher Report for about a decade.
Yeah.
And Phil has been there for several years now. I don't like to take any credit for it because it's his accomplishments and work that got him the job. But I did like help bring Phil on. I'm very proud of that because Phil's a great guy and I love that we have him as part of our team. So yeah, like being part of that team at Bleacher Report is amazing because it's been one consistent team almost the entire time I've been there, pretty much. Like we've lost one or two people along the way and gained one or two more, but there's like a core group of guys that have been there for years.
Yeah, Eric's pretty awesome too, by the way.
I love Eric. Like Eric's legitimately a friend. And like anytime me or that guy need a favor at like covering a show because something comes up, like we've done it a million times. Like he's the best.
Yeah, it's terrific coverage of Bleacher Report. So make sure you guys check that out. It is absolutely outstanding. Now, before we get into AEW Revolution, Doc, you got a chance to have a little chat with Sting before this whole thing wrapped up. And I know, and this was kind of a full circle moment for you too. Tell everybody a little bit about that and you know, how this interview went for you.
I mean, the crazy thing was I didn't even put it together until I was working on the article and had already talked to him. So I didn't even get to talk to him about this part of it. But I talked to him days after his first match in AEW for our first interview. And that is one of my favorite interviews I've ever done for multiple reasons. But the main thing I loved about it was not only like, am I a legitimate mark for this guy I've been watching since I was like 5 or 6 and I'm 40, but he was so just genuinely nice and not looking to play a character, and he just wanted to talk. And I, like, if you listen to any of the clips that I put in with the article of our conversation with the newer one, I think you can tell that. Like, he wasn't there to sell me on a storyline. And the second conversation we had, which was just days before his final match, is like that's tied for my favorite interview I've ever done alongside William Regal. And I loved it because there's 20 minutes of that phone call nobody will ever get to hear, because we were talking about things that not only are not relevant to anything in pro wrestling because we were just chatting, but there are things that, like, he told me he didn't want it included, but just still felt like talking about it. And
nice
to have a guy that, like, I have his action figures still, want to just sit there and casually chit chat with me and not have it be part of like the job that we're doing. Like, it was amazing. But yeah, like, he gave me a couple of cool tidbits of information that I don't remember ever seeing anywhere else about the inspiration for his character, and I was so freaking happy about that.
Oh wow, that's terrific. Yeah, amazing. Yeah, that must have been an incredible moment for you. And and just everything I've heard about the man, you know, just a God-fearing guy, and I've never heard anybody say a bad thing about the guy ever.
You said God-fearing. No, that man is God-loving. Like, I'm not religious, but I respect the hell out of the way he uses his faith and platform to help people. Because, like, he genuinely is trying to help you whether you're a Christian or not. Like, it's not like he's out there preaching. He just cares about everybody.
Yeah, that's terrific. So, yeah, and he's going to be here in Las Vegas in a few weeks, too. So he's going to be here WrestleMania weekend. So just a reminder, everybody, I think of the Vegas Toy Show. So opportunities for you to get to meet Sting. So just keep that in mind and get some tickets and check that out. It should be a pretty awesome time. So congratulations on that opportunity for you, Doc. I'm happy for you.
Like, and I've done dozens and dozens of these interviews, and I've talked to like every big name in AEW, and it never really stops being fun. like, I don't get starstruck. Like, I'm never awkward talking to these people. It's just really fun.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I think once you get to talk to somebody, you know, maybe this is a little inside baseball-y stuff here, but once you get to chat with these guys and ladies, then when you get to go out and you see them perform, and especially in a moment like this, I couldn't imagine that, you know, it just makes it that much more special, you know, you see this retirement match, and I couldn't imagine to a point what was going through your head that, you know, you just talk to the guy and now here's this moment. And to a point you felt like you got to share with him a little bit.
Well, like, he literally told me in the interview, he's like, oh yeah, like, I'm going balls to the wall. Like, I'm not holding anything back. And I'm watching this man go through a pane of glass. And I'm like, yep, he wasn't lying. Man is 64 years old and doing things I cannot do at 40. Like, come on.
Yeah, it was an absolutely incredible night. And, you know, what are your thoughts on that match? I mean, you know, there was some crazy stuff that happened in there. Of course, you know, Darby doing that insane spot, but you know, and Sting really put himself through it. There wasn't any screwing around in there. You know, certainly, you know, a lot of people, you know, thought that, you know, he could maybe, you know, hide a little bit, but there was no ducking the action for him in this one. He went out there all the way. And, you know, Darby left him alone for a long time after that spot. It was pretty incredible.
I think he kind of had to, because the doctors were like, we have to seal that cut.
Yeah.
That one on his back, on his lower, but like the thing on his shoulder was nasty looking, but they left that uncovered. The cut on his lower back, I'm fairly positive they were like, we need to get that sealed right now. And that's why you didn't see Darby in the match for like a few minutes after that crazy ladder glass spot. But yeah, like, I guess if you're going out, maybe you're not thinking about injuries and longevity anymore. And you're just like, I'm going to do this because I want to and not worry if there's a consequence to it. Like, I'm sure he wasn't going out there thinking like, oh, I might die, but it'll be fun.
Yeah.
But like, you know, there's got to be a little bit of a weight off when you know, oh, this is my last match. Like, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, it was funny because I had just interviewed Darby when they were here for AEW Collision. And when I talked to him about the stuff that Sting was doing, he was like, no, dude, I had no say in any of this. And I didn't encourage it. I didn't push him to do anything. He wanted to do all these things. All this stuff was his idea, and I just stood back and he did what he wanted to do, and that was it. And I just enjoyed the show. I mean, that was fascinating to me, because you would have thought he might have been a little imp on the shoulder and said, yeah, you know, maybe we could do this. But no, this was all Sting's idea, taking all these bumps all over the place for all this time.
And for all this time is exactly it. Cause I asked him in the second interview, I was like, so is Darby kind of responsible for breathing any like new life into you and giving you like a willingness to do crazy spots? He's like, honestly, no, I've been diving out of the ring, my head first into tables and chairs and all that since 1985. Like, he's like, me taking risks has always been part of the game. And he started like listing off spots and stuff. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, you know what? He's right. Like, people think of like Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin and people like that as like these risk takers. But Sting was doing that stuff really early. And he was a big powerhouse who didn't need to do any of that.
Right.
Like, he was a bodybuilder who looked like $1 million. He could have gotten by on power slams and leg drops and headlocks like Hulk Hogan did. He chose to actually throw every ounce of himself into it. And the fact that he didn't even want to be a pro wrestler makes it even more incredible that he went that extra mile all the time.
Yeah, what an amazing guy. And, we're going to miss him, and but I'm sure he's going to be out there. I know he's going to be doing a lot of stuff with his faith, and it should be
flipping houses
and flipping houses. He's going to still be making money out there. That's for darn sure. So we'll be seeing a lot of that man doing his thing. And but boy, I'll tell you, wouldn't be fast. I know his kids probably don't want to do it, but I can't imagine somebody's not going to be throwing some money at those guys to get in the ring at some point. They looked apart. They really did, didn't they?
So I didn't know that the one who was Surfer Sting, who dressed up like the blonde hair and everything, I didn't know that he was a relatively well-known Twitch streamer.
I didn't know that either.
Like, it's like Overwatch or one of those games he plays a lot. And I guess he never made it really all that clear that Sting was his dad. And so when he took a hiatus from his Twitch stream, he came back and was like, "Oh yeah, guys, I had to go help my dad retire." And people are like, "Wait a minute. I've been watching you for years and had no idea that you were Sting's son."
That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. So like, you know what though? Good on him for just going out there and making his own name and not relying on the fact that he had a famous dad. Like, hell, that's great.
That is awesome. Unbelievable.
And then the other one who was Wolfpack Sting, like, that dude's ripped, man. Like, they're both in great shape, but the one who was Wolfpack Sting, like, he had some definition to him. I would not be shocked if you were right and somebody came to them and was like, "Let's train you up and get you in this." And for all we know, that's the plan. One or both of them may actually want to do something.
Yeah, boy, there's definitely some money on the table.
I would think so.
No doubt about it. I'll tell you what, I think that's a really good spot for us to take our first break here, Doc. So why don't we do that, and then we'll come back. We'll talk more Revolution and maybe get into a little bit of what's going on with WWE too. So let's step back. We'll pause here on the Mark Hoke Show. We've got Doc Chris Mueller from Bleacher Report on the show with us. It's the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment on Mark Hoke Show on KDOM 101.5 FM Talk Las Vegas. If you have any questions, hop in that chat box on the Mark Hoke Show on YouTube or Facebook. And, of course, follow us on X, Twitter, at the Mark Hoke Show. Stick around, everybody. We've got more. We'll be right back.
KDON.
This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
And we return to the Mark Hoke Show here on KDON. 101.5 FM is the talk of Las Vegas. Best in pro wrestling news. We bring you all the best people in the industry. Performers, journalists, and all sorts of stuff. We got one of them for you right here. Doc Chris Mueller from Bleacher Report joining us on the show. And Doc, I wanted to just, because there's some other things I wanted to get into a little deeper in AEW, but just overall thoughts in AEW Revolution, because a lot of people said this is may have been AEW's best pay-per-view in a while. What'd you think of it?
You know, I kind of feel like I hear that from somebody for every AEW pay-per-view. Like, none of them are ever really bad, you know? I had a great time with this one. I thought a lot of the results were relatively predictable, but also the logical outcomes. Like, you know, it's pro wrestling. You're never going to really be that surprised. But, yeah, there were some really great matches. Swerve, Joe, and Hangman just... That was a thing of beauty. I mean, we talked about the Young Bucks and Sting, of course, but yeah, I kind of had fun from start to finish. I don't really think there was a bad match on the card or really any that were like mediocre.
Yeah, I know. I read some people were criticizing the Samoa Joe match just because they didn't like the story in it. I mean, what did you think about that criticism on that match?
Well, to me, the way the story was told actually benefited everybody, because what it did was it allowed Hangman and Swerve to basically tell their own internal story in that match, right? But then you have Joe, who's a champion who's going to retain and needs to be protected. So basically you have Hangman and Swerve worried so much more about each other that they made it easy for Joe to come in and win at the end. So I actually kind of knew that that was how it was going to play out. Like, I'm pretty sure I wrote it in a prediction article and definitely mentioned it on a Fightful pre-show with Rob Wilkins and Maggie. It was a very obvious way to do it, and I thought it was done well.
Well, there you go. So now coming up with AEW, Will Ospreay, Okada in here now. Things are getting very interesting with this company, and now you're coming off a massive pay-per-view, you know, million-dollar gate on this, and it appears that the momentum is starting to come back. Your thoughts on the future of AEW, because, you know, a lot of people said AEW is starting to slip. You know, we've seen some attendance figures kind of at some of the events. How are you feeling about where they are now? And with this, the influx of these two guys, man, there's some incredible potential here for where AEW is going to go, especially now with the Rainmaker and Will Ospreay stepping into the fray.
I mean, I got to be honest. Anybody who's overly analyzing the ebbs and flows of AEW, a five-year-old company, is nuts. Like, we're talking about a man with NFL owner money. He doesn't care if he makes a profit off AEW. He has publicly said that. AEW is a passion project. It's not their income. So AEW is going to be fine for a long time, whether they go down in ratings and lose some fans or get huge. Like, and frankly, pro wrestling as a whole is incredibly healthy right now. Like, WWE is better than it has been in a while, and it's been firing on all cylinders. I do have some problems with some of the things going on, and we can get into that, but sure. But AEW, yeah, they're doing great. And bringing in Okada and Ospreay so close together, it was definitely a big 1-2 punch. It kind of reminded me of when Danielson and Punk sort of came in not that far apart.
So, okay, now you got me intrigued. Talk about these problems. What are you seeing?
You mean WWE?
Yeah, we can get into that a little bit.
Do we need 45 minutes of The Rock making crack jokes and calling? Like, I am a fan of The Rock. Like, I think he's one of the better entertainers to ever do pro wrestling. But, like, I've never wanted 45-minute promos from anybody. And when it's just repetitive stuff over and over and over, I keep thinking to myself, and we only have one women's match this week. Again. Like, I know it's the biggest storyline they've done in years, and Roman, and blah, blah, blah. But you can tell that same story in a much more condensed segment. Yeah. I just think that The Rock, I know it's part of the character, but maybe the man is also a little bit of on an ego trip right now.
You know, it's funny because I said that a few weeks ago too. And you know, apparently they had to cut him off this week. And that last segment ran really long. You know, I liked what they did last week. I thought that was pretty good. And the social media promo I think he did, you know, there were some points you could have cut some time out of that, but I thought it filled some holes in and I felt like it helped, you know, but the whole thing about Cody not deserving it, I didn't think that made any sense. But you know, you mentioned about the women, and one thing that I'm looking at right now is, you know, there's not been a lot of development for the women for WrestleMania yet. You know, we're not that far out. So, you know, you know, we're missing, you know, we got a little LA Knight, little AJ Styles, but you know, there's a whole card to put together, you know? And, yeah, and now we, right. You know, and we've got Seth probably going twice. We've got Cody and Roman going twice. How about everybody else? And, you know, I mean, and not that I'm not psyched about seeing where this is going to go, because there's a lot of cool stuff they can do. But at the same time, you've got the deepest roster you've had in God knows how long now, and you're not going to use it?
Yeah, agreed. I mean, we have a couple women's matches. You know, we got Becky and Rhea. We got Io and Bayley. So we do know what the two main titles will be up to, but I mean, I do think overall, if you're talking about WWE comparing to AEW, which I hate doing, WWE might have an edge in the women's department because of NXT. The women get so much time in NXT, sometimes like more than the men on some weekly shows, and it's awesome. And occasionally WWE pay-per-views are fully 50% women's matches. So I think both companies have some work to do in that department for sure. But the depth of talent has never been bigger.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and both of them have just an amazing group of performers. And, you know, it's hard for both of them. I don't envy either company trying to find places for all the people that they have. It's a good problem to have for once. I remember, you know, just a few years ago when I first started doing the show, it was just lamenting the fact that WWE just didn't seem to have a lot of people as options for main event talent. And now all of a sudden, here we are. I mean, there's a million people they could be putting in the top slots. And, you know, we got this gauntlet match for Gunther, and you could see out of those six guys, three or four of them that you could legitimately put in that Intercontinental title match, just as an example. And how many guys could you be putting up against Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins right now? There's a ton of them. I mean, it's an enviable position. And then AEW, my God, how many people could you throw into the main event scene right now? It's ridiculous.
AEW has a very top heavy roster right now, and I feel like that may become an issue, because you have too many people who the fans are going to want to have a world title reign, and Tony only books long world title reigns. Like, I think there was like one short one or two, maybe, like, you know, Punk and Moxley, that feud. But you got a guy like Ospreay, you got a guy like Okada. A lot of people want Danielson to win one world title in AEW. Eddie Kingston is somebody who has a lot of support to be a world champion. You even have guys who've been there for longer, like Pac.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the people who've already been world champion. Moxley, Jericho, Omega. They're all potential champions again. Swerve better be the next champion, though. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, they've done an amazing job with them. Of course, we're on the Mark Hoke Show here with Dr. Chris Mueller from Bleacher Report. And, you know, speaking of another name, man, we got Wardlow, who is supposed to be the one that is going to be handing the championship to Adam Cole. There's two more names, and Wardlow's getting the shot at the title. Does he win it?
No.
No?
No, I don't think so. I would love it if it happened. You know, my friend Maggie is his future wife. He doesn't know it yet, but she does. and I like Wardlow. I've interviewed Wardlow. Dude's great.
Yeah.
Like, and he's super talented in the ring too. Like, he's actually way more versatile than AEW allows him to be, because of the way they're booking him is like dominant two power bombs and you're dead kind of guy. But yeah, I don't think they're gonna pull that trigger. I think he's gonna be a good opponent. He's gonna lose. And then maybe he'll chase the Continental Crown or the TNT title or the International title. Like, Wardlow will hold more gold, but it won't be a world title for a while.
Yeah, this is, yeah, this is going to be it. It would be fascinating if he did. Like I said, it's just like you said. It's just so many options that they've got, and you know, but with Swerve being so hot, and you know, there's still another guy out there named MJF that's going to be back sooner than later. So, you know, it's yeah, very, very intriguing possibilities out there. I did want to ask you a little bit real quick about this Kevin Kelly situation. What do you know about what's happened with this whole thing that Kevin Kelly is apparently on the outs as the announcer for Collision with AEW? What happened with this whole thing?
I actually don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Apparently he's not going to be there was some controversy with him and Ian Riccaboni with some Twitter comments about the Sound of Freedom movie. And apparently he's out. But
Kevin Kelly trying to you know what? I don't even want to know.
Yeah. So, but that's still getting settled. That news just broke. So I didn't know if you knew anything about that yet or not. So,
no, but I'll be honest with you. I've never really thought Kevin was a good fit with the other people there. Like, he's a great announcer at his job, but Ian and Excalibur are kind of like AEW's two main guys for that. And then they sort of have all the other ones, like you got a Taz or Jericho sitting in once in a while. Nigel's great. I love Nigel.
I do too.
Like, hater of the year. That guy is like Bryan Danielson bitterness will never not be funny to me. And I just love that guy so much. And I just think that Kevin Kelly was never really a right fit. And so if Ian's going to take his spot or whatever, they're going to cycle in and out, like, it might be better for the show. Like, all the controversy, whatever aside.
Interesting. Well, yeah, so we'll see where that all ends up. It's kind of sad, but yeah, so Kevin Kelly apparently on the outs at AEW. And now back to WWE a little bit too, as the road to WrestleMania is shaping up, and aside from everything that's happening with The Rock, we kind of, you know, a little sidebar on that. Some other, you know, intriguing things going on. But, you know, we mentioned all these guys doing these in the three different, wrestling twice and all that crazy kind of stuff. What else are you looking forward to on this card and, you know, some other things shaping up? Because, you know, there's some pretty intriguing stuff going on. You know, this stuff with Kevin Owens and Logan Paul and Randy Orton looks like could be kind of fun. I mean, you got the two biggest traitors in WWE history could be stuck in the same match. That could be entertaining.
Yeah, you know, there's a few things shaping up that could be potentially good. I mean, I hate to do it every time, but like, I can't stand Logan Paul, and yet I have to acknowledge that he puts in a lot of work and actually like does well. That hurt. But anyway,
oh, that's great.
Like, you know, AJ Styles, LA Knight, you know, that'll probably be a night one, middle of the show kind of match. I really, really hope they stick the landing and have R-Truth and The Miz win the tag titles, because I just want R-Truth to have a WrestleMania moment. Like, that guy, R-Truth, the fact that he is getting more love than ever in his career for the past few months because of all the Judgment Day stuff could not make me happier. I have been such a fan of him for a long time, and not because of the comedy. Like, he's a legitimately great wrestler. First black NWA champion. That man is actually like kind of a living legend in a lot of ways. And the fact that he could at 52, I think, be getting, like, you know, a title win at WrestleMania, that's great.
Yeah, I know. There were some people that were trying to come up with a scenario with him winning the world championship, which would could you imagine that happening? I mean, that
you know
would,
what? Like, they could sell me on the idea of R-Truth just not knowing how the Money in the Bank works and just stealing it from Damian and trying to cash in and getting a three count and running around with the title. And then the ref is like, you can't do that. Like, I would love that so much if R-Truth got a three count on Roman Reigns or something. And then they were like, no, you can't, you don't get the title, man. But the whole, like, that's another thing. Damian and the Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
I kind of think WrestleMania might have a cash in.
Well, it kind of has to. I mean, so I was talking in the first hour that it's probably, I would imagine it's probably going to happen on the first night. I would think that Seth's going to get beat up pretty bad and Damian's got to cash in. No, don't know what's going to happen with Seth for night two, but that would, I mean, like I said, this is, there's so many possibilities the way this is getting set up, but I would think that that's probably the most likely one. Even though I did have somebody call into one of our shows here on KDON, our SportsX radio show that's on from 6 to 8 here Monday through Friday. That said, yeah, Damian Priest is going to walk out with the Universal title. And I just sat there like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, that would just be unbelievable. But I do more see a scenario that he gets it off Rollins on night one after this tag match. That would seem very likely to me.
But then, do you think then it's Damian versus Drew on night two?
It would kind of have to be, wouldn't it?
See, I think we're getting Seth and Drew. I just think Damian's going to cash in either in the middle of the match or right after it's over.
Yeah.
Now, Drew is so freaking hot right now, too, that I could also see them just putting the title on him and not having Damian cash in. Like, Damian can hold that thing until I think it's June when Money in the Bank is. Like, he's got a little bit of time left.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I could see Drew winning the belt too. And frankly, I kind of want Drew to win the belt. Like, have you been watching any of the stuff he does on social media?
Oh, it's crazy.
Like, him taunting the fans with the CM Punk music the other night killed me.
Yeah, he's been absolutely amazing. And I don't think his contract, he's still not under contract as far as we know, right? I would think
I think the report is that like they've talked and things are looking good. It's just not official, but I'm never really one to care about the contracts that much. Like, I know it's going to affect the storytelling and whatnot, but I also know WWE is going to do what will pop a rating. So if, let's say they know Drew's not going to work out a deal, I could absolutely see them having Drew win the title and then Damian cashes in on him right away.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make sense, but that's going to be part of the fun of this year's WrestleMania, to say the least. It is going to be very, very unpredictable. But one thing we do have to predict is I got to get a commercial break in here. Doc, did you want to stick around for the last segment or?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's wrap this up here. We got one more to go with Doc Chris Mueller from Bleacher Report. I'm Mark Hoke on the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment, The Mark Hoke Show. Stick around, everybody. We got a little bit more to go. We'll be right back here on KDON 101.5 FM, The Talk of Las Vegas. We're streaming worldwide on the Odyssey app, and we're also live on Facebook and YouTube. And just saw a comment came in, so we'll check that out for you as well. We'll be right back.
101.5 FM KDON.
You're listening to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Vegas, The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Now, here again is Mark Hoke.
And we're back on The Mark Hoke Show here on KDON, 101.5 FM, The Talk of Las Vegas. One of these days, I'm not going to do these setups at 5:30 in the morning, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Doc Chris Mueller That's his name. Oh, golly gee whiz. I am.
You can thank my friend Peggy for that.
Thank you. I would have seen it eventually. That's all.
That's fine.
It's all good. Oh, I'm a professional, kids. What can I say? Anyway.
He's one of us.
Yeah. It's all good. Well, having a great time with Doc from Bleacher Report. And, of course, you can check out all his coverage, well, on Bleacher Report. And, Doc, I wanted to ask about this Intercontinental Scramble real quick. I had a couple of little tidbits before we get out of here. But who do you want to win this thing? I'm curious because I have my favorite. But, of course, the winner of this gauntlet match gets Gunther. It's Ricochet, J.D. McDonough, Sami Zayn, Chad Gable, Bronson Reed, Shinsuke Nakamura. If you had to book it, who's your guy?
It depends on if we're booking the winner to beat Gunther or not. If the winner of, I don't know, I really want it to be Chad Gable. I know it's probably unlikely, and I think besides him, Bronson Reed. Cool. I think Big Bronson would be a great Intercontinental Champion, and after him not getting a special moment in Australia, I think it's something that would be really good for him.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. Yeah, I'm rooting for Chad Gable too, but I want him to win. I think it would be a terrific moment for Chad, and you know, after everything he's done for WWE, I think that would be one of those you deserve it moments. So I'm down with Chad Gable. And I just, you know, but I wish Sammy would get a big moment too. You know, he did last year, certainly, but, you know, I just wonder if somewhere down the road there's a bigger moment waiting for him. So I don't know. I feel like Sammy, I feel like they missed that opportunity last year with Sammy at Elimination Chamber, but yeah, we'll find out. But that's just me. What else do we get? Oh, Brock Lesnar's back on the roster page, by the way. Did you see that?
Yeah, I heard about that. I don't know if we're going to get him at Mania. I feel like we would have seen him by now, but maybe not.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that they even did that at this point. And you're trying to get the, you know, keep Vince out of the spotlight here, and then you throw Brock back up on the roster page. I was like, okay. I think I just let it go. But I guess I figure they would have got to figure out a way to, you know, they want him there. I don't know. That one kind of struck me as a little bit of a surprise when I saw that this week. That, and of course, if you don't know the situation, Brock was somewhat named in that lawsuit with Vince McMahon. That started all this whole thing that got him out of the TKO group. So, yeah, Brock is back on the roster page. So, interesting situation there. Everybody's pitching a fit about, and by the way, I've got a bottle of it right here. We'll give him a little plug there. We got the bottle of Prime. The Prime logo was on the WWE ring. Logan Paul and KSI apparently struck a pretty big deal. And we have a sponsorship logo in a WWE ring, and everybody is crying foul. But, of course, in every other sport that's got a ring, there's logos all over the place. What did you think, Doc? Is it okay to have a Prime logo in the WWE ring?
I knew this was going to happen eventually. I can't remember if I just mentioned it or wrote a whole article about it. But I talked about how WWE was very clearly leaving money on the table for sponsorship opportunities, and at some point they were going to capitalize on it. Aprons, barricades, the middle of the ring. Like, you know, I'm old enough to remember the Slim Jim logo in the middle of the WCW ring.
Yep.
And I don't necessarily have a problem with sponsorships. I have a problem with how ugly that one looked.
Yeah, they could do a little better on that.
Like, the Slim Jim logo never took away from the attention of the match. That Prime thing is like a vinyl shiny sticker and brightly colored. I don't like it. If they're going to do it, they should do it with like a logo painted into the mat that's more subtle, like they did with Slim Jim in WCW.
There you go. Well, hey, we're going to wrap it up, so I wanted to give everybody a chance to tell everybody where they can find you, my friend.
You can find me on Twitter at br_doctor. You can find all my work on the Bleacher Report app or bleacherreport.com. I occasionally pop up on random podcasts and shows all over. So, yeah.
Awesome. Hey, I want to thank you for coming on the show. A blast. Now we didn't have it to do anything crazy. It was awesome time. Thank you for coming on, Doc. I really do appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. And that is going to wrap up this edition of the Mark Hoke Show. Thanks for being with us. Guys, give us a follow on X, Twitter at Mark Hoke Show, Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show. Subscribe to us on YouTube at The Mark Hoke Show and MarkHokeShow.com. Keep up with the show. It's pretty simple. You know, we try to do that for you. Guys, we'll see you next week as the road to WrestleMania continues. Have a terrific day, Las Vegas. We'll catch you next time here on 101.5 FM, The Talk of Las Vegas.
Want more of The Mark Hoke Show? Follow us on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show. Like us on Facebook at The Mark Hoke Show. And visit MarkHokeShow.com to keep up with everything happening with the show. And remember to check out all of our archive shows on YouTube at The Mark Hoke Show and download our podcasts at markhokeshow.podbean.com and all your favorite podcast outlets. So join The Mark Hoke Show family today, and thanks for listening.